listen to the best of the church's Christmas music during the entire Christmas season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. During the 12 days of Christmas, Lutheran Public Radio, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Still have a very, very high embryo loss in creation of life in the laboratory. So I think it's very disingenuous to say that it was a pro-life approach to making babies.
And this is just madness to say. And each one of us, all 7 billion, all have these magical divine destinies from forever where we're all going to change the world. You know, that's what's destroying the world.
Another way to think about what I've called cliche theology is your rhetoric running your theology, or is the theology running the rhetoric?
Moms in labor, love issues, etc.
Getting a few of the headlines out there, this obituary of Thomas Monson. If you don't know the name, don't be surprised, although you probably know some of his predecessors' name, like Brigham Young or Joseph Smith. Thomas Monson was the latest president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, and at age 90, he passed away. That doesn't kind of make the headlines the way you would expect it. You almost get a sense that the presidents of the Mormon Church were more important in the past than they are today. Is that true? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Wednesday afternoon, the 3rd of January. Bill McKeever of Mormonism Research Ministry is going to join us to talk about the death of the president of the Mormon Church. And a little bit later, Terry Mattingly will be our guest. We will talk with him about a recent National Public Radio story titled 2017 Has Been a Rough Year for Evangelicals. How does the story define evangelicals, and are they able to do it without almost immediately making reference to President Donald Trump? Terry Mattingly will be with us in about 20 minutes here on Issues Etc. Joining us to talk about the death of Thomas S. Monson, the president of the Mormon Church, Bill McKeever, founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah, and author of several books, including In Their Own Words, a collection of Mormon quotations, and Mormonism 101. Bill, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, good to be with you. Happy New Year.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me that the presidency of the Mormon Church was far more important in the earlier years of its history than it is today.
Well, if you look at people like Joseph Smith and perhaps even Brigham Young, you might be correct on that. But the Mormons still look to their prophet, seer, and revelator, the president of the Mormon Church, as being a very important position because the president is the only man within the entire Mormon Church organization that has the authority to speak on behalf of God for everyone in the church. What that means is he alone has this top-down authority that whatever he says is supposed to be the way it goes. He alone has the authority to come up with new doctrine or even change or alter existing doctrine. Nobody else has that kind of power. Even Mormon apostles don't have that kind of power if it contradicts with what the president and his two counselors, which is known as the First Presidency, have decreed. So I would say it's still pretty important, although it's kind of like, I guess you could say, within the Catholic Church, where even though you have in Catholicism a pontiff who is supposed to speak on behalf of the entire Catholic Church, there's still a lot of people who would probably question some of the things that he has to say. And you do see that in the Mormon Church. We do see people like that here, especially in Utah, among many of the more liberal Mormons who might not agree with some of the decrees that have been coming down from Salt Lake City, but they do still recognize his authority as the leader of the church.
So how would you summarize the last decade or so of Thomas Monson's presidency?
Well, if I was to put it in a word, and I don't mean to offend any Mormon listeners that might be tuning in, but he was pretty boring when you consider some of the statements that have been made by other LDS leaders. Monson never really gave us a whole lot of sound bites to go on. He was known more for telling these nice folksy tales of life during the Depression and helping widows and such. And he never really dealt with a lot of the unique or even deeper theological issues that pertain to Mormonism. So in that regard, he wasn't all that exciting. I'm sure he's probably a very nice guy. I've never met the man, but still, when it came to some of his official decrees, like in General Conference and such, it wasn't all that deep. Not at all like a Joseph Fielding Smith or even like a Russell M. Nelson, who's next in line to take his place as president of the church. Nelson is one of the few in the leadership that gives us a lot of things to write about when he speaks in General Conference and such.
So you mentioned Russell Nelson. Is it a foregone conclusion that he will be the next president of the LDS Church?
If they follow tradition, and I have no reason to believe that they won't, what happens when a Mormon president dies, the first presidency is dissolved. In other words, the two counselors are kind of morphed into the 12 apostles, so they become, I guess you could say, 14 apostles. And then what the Mormon Church does is it takes the senior member among those 14, whoever's been an apostle longest. Traditionally, that becomes the next president of the church, and that would be Russell M. Nelson. He's been the senior apostle for quite a while. Now, Russell Nelson's 93. Monson was 90. But I will say, in watching General Conference this last time, Russell Nelson, he at least looks pretty healthy for being in his 90s. But I guess you could say that being in his 90s, I mean, his lifespan's getting a little bit short there, so we could be seeing another change in the not-too-distant future with him. Now, Nelson is a traditionalist. He's not a progressive. I don't see him going anywhere and trying to liberalize any of Mormonism's unique doctrines or changing them to any degree at all. He still holds to very basic traditional Mormon understanding, so I don't see any changes with him when he is officially put in that position of president of the church.
You said that he gives people something to write about when he speaks in General Conference. What kind of things is Nelson known
for
saying?
One thing that we look for when we are listening to the leaders speak in General Conference is, are they coming up with anything new that contradicts what has been said in the past, or are they merely affirming things that Mormons have traditionally always understood to be truth to them? And what I mean by Nelson, he seems to tout the party line here. I mean, a lot of the things that he has said in General Conference that deal with doctrinal issues are very traditional positions that the Mormon Church has held for a long time. Now, why is it important for us to look for things like that? It could be, and I think it is, because there's a lot of people, even within Christian circles, that assume that the Mormon Church is changing its doctrinal positions and perhaps even coming closer to a more New Testament consensus. I don't see that with Nelson, that's for sure. And I really don't even see that with any of the other general authorities, such as, you know, Jeffrey R. Holland and guys like him, because they may change the way they express what they're saying. But if you look very closely, it's still the same old stuff. What I mean by that is, for instance, they talk a lot more now about grace. But yet, when you look carefully at what they mean by grace, the grace that forgives you of your sins, is still something that must be earned by complete repentance of all your sins and keeping all the commandments. And even though guys like Jeffrey Holland might make it sound like that's no longer a position of the church, if you look carefully at even what guys like Jeffrey Holland have said in the past, that is still very much a part of Mormonism. Works is very much a part of the Mormon salvation process to gain what's known as exaltation or godhood.
Is there any kind of foment in Mormonism today to become more, well, I think people will probably think of more like American evangelicals in their teaching or their profile.
I would say no. And the reason I say that is because statements have come out by leadership in the past whenever that charge has been raised publicly that somehow the Mormon Church is changing. Leaders have been somewhat quick to make it clear that that's not happening. I remember Gordon B. Hinckley, when he was president prior to Thomas Monson, he made it very clear that the church was not changing or going into any other direction. And that's what confuses me as a researcher and a missionary here serving in Utah when I hear Christians talk about this eventual change in Mormonism to come closer to New Testament Christianity. I just don't see it. I mean, I do read some of the statements that I think are at best probably very confusing even to Latter-day Saints. I mean, you had Dieter F. Uchtdorf, who was part of Monson's first presidency, give a sermon a while back in General Conference where he talked about works were not necessary. And I'm going, necessary for what? Be crystal clear on that, because they most certainly are necessary for exaltation, though they may not be necessary for a Mormon or a non-Mormon to wind up in the second level of Mormon heaven known as the terrestrial kingdom. See, this is where you have to listen very carefully to what these leaders are saying. They choose their words very wisely, and it's difficult sometimes to see through it if you're not acquainted with the language, but I don't see them coming in our direction at all.
So the career, at least according to the AP story that I'm looking at, the career of Thomas Monson seems to be one that was lived almost entirely within the hierarchy of the Mormon Church, beginning at his elevation to church bishop at age 22. Was that unusual?
Yeah, he was 22. That's pretty young. When you think about it. Yeah, he did a very short stint in the military, and then he was counseled by a leader in the Mormon Church to not go on in the military, and he was given positions in the church. He was also a very young apostle, but you're absolutely correct. He spent most of his life in the employment of the Mormon Church. And before the pay stubs of some Mormon leaders were exposed on Mormon Leaks not too terribly long ago, many Mormons had been led to believe that the Mormon Church does not have a paid clergy. Well, Monson would be a good test case in bringing this up to a Latter-day Saint who might have believed that. And I've often used guys like Monson to show that a guy who has been employed by the church all his life, you would think, would not be able to save enough money to live off of when they were finally called to a full-time position in the church. They were being supported by the church. There's no doubt about that. We've known that for years, but it was only in recent years, in recent months, I should say, that finally the Mormon church got caught flat-footed when some of these check stubs with public showing that Mormon leaders were in fact receiving compensation for their duties in the church, which I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that at all. I think 1 Corinthians chapter 9 certainly speaks of a paid clergy. There's no doubt about that. I just had a problem when the Mormon leadership kept insisting that they didn't have a paid clergy, which certainly they do.
So it's kind of a mixed picture of the guy who appears to have a meteoric career within the Mormon hierarchy, moving up, you know, over the course of his entire career to finally occupy and occupy for some time the presidency, but kind of an unremarkable guy in terms of what he had to say and what he may have contributed in terms of the kind of the thought of Mormonism.
Yeah, I think that would probably be a good way to explain it. He was probably average, if anything. There's nothing really that, in my opinion, was certainly comes to mind. I was reading one of the articles online about him, and the most they had to say about him was that he was the one responsible for lowering the missionary age down to 18 from the age of 19. And I thought, wow, if that's the highlight of your career, that seems pretty mediocre, if you ask me. And it's funny because when I remember when he did make that announcement, and I was talking to two Mormon missionaries in my home, I asked them, well, what did you hear in General Conference that was just so earth-shattering for you? I mean, that if you had not heard it, it may have had some kind of effect on your eternal life. And the only thing they could come up with was Thomas Monson lowering the missionary age. And I went, wow, that doesn't even affect you guys because you're already on your mission, so... but, yeah, it's not all that exciting. Certainly he was not a Joseph Fielding Smith or a Spencer W. Kimball, that's for sure.
Bill McKeever is our guest. We're talking about the death of the president of the Mormon Church when we come back. How does someone move up the hierarchy of the Mormon Church? Stay tuned.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
Do you need a home mortgage, car, or student loan in 2018? Check out Lutheran Federal Credit Union. During January, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their Ministry of the Month, Grace Place Lutheran Retreats. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU, good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Each month, the Lutheran Witness magazine brings together leading thinkers and writers to cover a range of vital topics relating to Christian life and faith, culture and theology. So whether your 2018 New Year's resolution is to read more widely, think more broadly, or grow more deeply in your faith, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's flagship magazine can help. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
Have you ever wanted to better understand philosophy and its impact on your family, your church, or your world, but didn't know where to begin? Concordia University, Wisconsin has an innovative, free online course for you entitled Philosophy Kata Christan. These 6 engaging video sessions are taught by noted Lutheran philosopher, lecturer, author, and pastor, Dr. Gregory Scholes. Learn more by clicking the Kata Christan logo at issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the death of the president of the Mormon Church, Thomas Monson. Bill McKeever is our guest, a regular guest, founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah, and author of several books, including In Their Own Words, a collection of Mormon quotations, and Mormonism 101. Bill, do we have any idea how someone moves up the hierarchy of the Mormon Church?
Well, they get chosen. I would say if you look at the history of how these men are eventually picked to become a general authority, it certainly depends on their loyalty in the church. Many times you might think, well, they served as a missionary in the Mormon Church. Thomas Monson didn't. He did not serve a Mormon mission. But that doesn't look bad on the resume, that's for sure. But I would say the biggest thing is you just have to show a loyalty to the Mormon system. You have to believe it's true, and that is what's going to eventually raise you up the ranks, perhaps to a bishop, perhaps to a stake president and such, into the bishopric. And then once you're chosen into the first quorum of the 70, again, that is the pool that we find most of the future leaders are taken from, the first quorum of the 70. And then once they get into to being an apostle, then it's all a matter of time. All you have to do now is just outlive your predecessors, and you could be the next president of the church.
Does it also account for why these men generally enter as octogenarians and leave in the case as men who are pushing 100?
Yeah. Exactly. You have to outlive everybody. So if you get in at a very young age, there's a pretty good possibility you will probably end up being the president if you don't have any health problems or don't find yourself in an accident of some sort.
So what do you expect from the next occupant of that office in Mormonism?
I kind of expect more of the same. I don't expect any dramatic things happening through Russell M. Nelson. I think he's going to continue to speak on traditional issues as he has in the past. I don't see any reason why he's going to change course in that. He has a pretty steady pattern of the things that he normally talks about. And like I say, he's one of the few in the leadership who does deal with doctrinal issues. Robert Hales, who passed away a few months ago, he was another one. I was kind of sad to see him go because he often confirmed the fact that Mormons still believe a lot of the things that they've always believed. And so I don't see any major course corrections with Russell M. Nelson. I certainly don't see them changing anything regarding their views of eternal polygamy, because Russell M. Nelson is right now sealed to two women. When his first wife passed away, he remarried in the temple for time and eternity, so he is sealed to two women, believes that he is going to be with both women in the next life. So even though there's been calls for the Mormon Church to adjust that doctrine or even abandon it, I don't see it happening, not with Russell M. Nelson at the helm.
And it would really disrupt kind of the whole theological system, wouldn't it?
It would and it wouldn't. The Mormon Church has certainly gone through a lot of changes theologically over the years, and you would think that some of these changes would cause a huge disruption. And though it probably does concern some within the membership, it just keeps on going on. You know, even with these Gospel Topics essays that started coming out in 2013, when the Mormon Church was admitting to a lot of its historical issues that caused a lot of problems. Yeah, it upset quite a few members, and many have left the Mormon Church over them, but the church keeps going on. It's like they're going to get a bunch of new members who may not even know about this stuff or may not even care, and the church continues to roll on.
One of the things that the press is citing as Monson's contribution has to do with what you were just talking about, and that is, they're calling it increased transparency about the church's history. How would you summarize that?
Well, the church certainly has been much more transparent about its theology and history than it has in the past. And it did begin, I would say, in 2013, in late 2013, with the steady release of various Gospel Topics essays. So yes, they have been more transparent, although I've been very critical about a lot of the essays because I think there was a lot of information that still was not found in those essays that would have explained a lot of things better for not only members in the church, but those of us that are on the outside looking in. I think that's going to continue to go on, but I don't know, and I say this only because I haven't seen it happen yet, I don't see a lot of comments being made in general conference about a lot of these earth-shattering revelations that have been coming out in these essays. And you would think that the Mormon leadership would say, hey, the buck stops with us. We have a responsibility. Let's get behind this and show that we are going to be totally honest about our history and doctrine. As of this point, I don't see that. I see the historians and some of the apologists in the Mormon Church being more open on some of these issues. But I'm not hearing it in general conference.
What does that mean to you then?
What it means to me is I think the leadership has a limit. They have a line that they will not cross because they know if they cross that line and they become too open and honest, it's going to really cause them a lot of damage when it comes to retaining members and gaining new members. Now, I would think that a person investigating the Mormon Church right now who knows about the Gospel Topics essays and still wants to join the Mormon Church, wow, I wonder about a person like that, because many of the things that have been brought out in the essays, especially about the character of Joseph Smith, I would like to think would bother just about any moral person. And the fact that he was in his 30s, you know, marrying teenagers is quite troubling for many people, especially myself. But some Mormons don't seem to care. It doesn't bother them. They have this attitude, well, he's the prophet of the church, he's a prophet of God, he's allowed to do whatever he wants. My counter question to that assumption is, are you telling me that prophets in the Old Testament were allowed to do whatever they wanted? If so, how come Moses didn't go into Canaan? That wouldn't make sense. But they do have this kind of an attitude regarding Joseph Smith. It doesn't matter what he has done, it's okay because he was God's servant, God's prophet.
In all your conversations with Mormons and with all your study of Mormonism, what have you found, Bill, to be the biggest kind of secret doubt that the average Mormon may entertain about their religion?
Well, I think one of the biggest doubts that I have found in talking with Mormons is the assurance of their own forgiveness. Mormonism tends to make that almost impossible to know for a Latter-day Saint because they have been so indoctrinated with this idea that in order to gain exaltation, which in Mormonism is true salvation, you have to repent of all your sins, which means you confess and forsake all of your sins. You can't have a partial forsaking according to many of the teachings of past leaders. Plus, you have to keep the commandments. And when you ask a Latter-day Saint, well, how many commandments must you keep if that's what's necessary for forgiveness? They'll tell you all of them. To which you merely have to respond to that by asking, well, how are you doing at that? And I've never met a Mormon who's keeping all the commandments. Yet they'll tell me that's what's necessary. So it's kind of like they know what's required of them, but nobody's doing what's required of them. They're hoping that somehow, I guess, the Mormon God will turn a blind eye, perhaps because of their loyalty to what they believe is his only true church, and perhaps let them in or allow them to be exalted. But their scripture doesn't say that. According to the Doctrine and Covenants, their God cannot look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. And if that's true, it would seem to make sense that if they hope to have that forgiveness of sin, that they do have to repent of all their sins according to their definition and keep all of the commandments. Again, that's a very high bar that I've never found a Mormon who's keeping.
Bill McKeever is founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah. He's author of several books, including In Their Own Words, a collection of Mormon quotations, and Mormonism 101. You'll find a link to these books and to Mormonism Research Ministry under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Bill, thank you.
My pleasure.
When we come back, Terry Mattingly will join us. We're going to talk about a recent National Public Radio story titled 2017 Has Been a Rough Year for Evangelicals. Stay tuned.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. thecleaningauthority.com.
Listen to the best of the church's Christmas music during the entire Christmas season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. During the 12 days of Christmas, Lutheran Public Radio, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
I'm talking with regular guest Dr. Ken Sherb about a new book by one of his former professors. Which one, Ken?
The late Dr. Kurt Marquardt, and the book is The Saving Truth, Doctrine for Lay People.
You edited this book.
Yeah, the unpublished manuscript was among Marquardt's papers, and it is vintage Marquardt, lively, engaging, centering in the Christ who saves, with an apologetics chapter at the end.
You can find out more about Saving Truth, Doctrine for Lay People at lutheracademy.com.
Risen Savior Lutheran Church, Baser, Kansas. Located just right outside the northwest corner of the metro Kansas City area, we have a growing congregation of people who come from over 13 different communities to see what God is doing here, who desire to only believe, teach, confess, and practice as the church always has. Risen Savior, Baser, Kansas. Check out our website, risensaviorlcms.org.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people. by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.